here with you on this last Sunday before Christmas Eve. First, I wanted to echo the announcement that was made and just giving thanks to God for what we did last week. I have heard incredible positive feedback from people who were here, from people who weren't here and just saw the pictures, and they thought, what a great idea that was. And for me personally, just to see how this church came together to put this thing together, the amazing talent that God has given us, such a great outpouring of service and a great pouring of love and generosity and talent, all done for God's sake, is just such a blessing. And I want to highlight that, because whenever we talk about doing something big or doing something different, I want us as True North to be able to look at this, look at them and say, you know what, we can do that, because God has given us such great talent here. If you weren't part of this, there's something else that God has gifted you to do, to be part of this church. God has assembled a great number of talented and generous people here, and you are all part of that. So let's give thanks to God for what he did and what he showed us in that about this church last week. Now today, as we continue to prepare for Christmas, I want to continue focusing on what child this is that we're celebrating. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that Christmas carol, what child is this? And asking that question, who is Jesus really? And I want to continue in that this week, and starting out where we left off last time from the verse in Colossians chapter 1. So if you would open up your Bibles to Colossians 1, I'm going to start in verse 15. And we highlighted the fact last time that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, worthy of all praise. So we read in Colossians here, starting in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church, or the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This passage declares the supremacy of Jesus over all things. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. And we think about Jesus, I want to ask this question this morning. What kind of image do you have in your mind when you think about him? When you talk about being a follower of Christ, when you're worshiping him, when you're reading your Bible, when you're thinking about your faith, what kind of mental picture do you have of Jesus? How do you view him when you think of him? Because I suspect that you, like myself, at times have a smaller image of him than what he really is. At Christmas time, is he this cute baby lying in a manger? And of course, in a sense, yes, he is, but he's also so much more than that. Do you see Jesus as a man, a teacher, a friend, someone who cares deeply about you? And of course, the answer to all those things is yes, but he's also so much more than that. All of those things pale in comparison to the fullness of who Jesus is. And do we have that image in our heads when we think about him? Back in Colossians again, it says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones and powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by him and for him. Jesus is the creator of everything. He didn't just come into existence on that first Christmas day. He is before all things, ageless and eternal. It reminds me of a great video that we've watched and we've shown a few times called How Great Is Our God, in which the immensity of God is visualized and thought of in comparison to the size of the things that he's created. Some of the largest known stars in the galaxy. And I really encourage anyone who hasn't seen it to watch this. It's called How Great Is Our God, and I can help you find it. But I just want to highlight a little piece of what they shared in that. The largest known star in our world, in our universe that we know of, is called Canis Majoris. It has a diameter of over 1 trillion miles. a trillion miles wide. It can hold 7 quadrillion Earths inside of it. That's how much bigger it is than us. Now, the Bible says this about our Creator in Psalm 53:6. Let me open that real quick. 53:6. I'm sorry. I wrote down the wrong. I can't read my writing. I think it's 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. So by God's word, the entire universe was made. Now think about that in relationship to the size of the things that he has made. Planets or stars like Canis Majoris with over a trillion miles in diameter were breathed into existence by our Lord. That is just a glimpse at how immense and powerful he is. When you look up at the night sky and you see the countless stars that are out there and you think about how massive they are, every one of them was made by the breath of our Lord. That is who Jesus is. As we approach Christmas and you look at that baby lying in the manger, can you have that thought in your head as you look upon him? He is the star breather. He is so much more immense and powerful than we can imagine. So not only is Jesus Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he is the creator of the universe, and he has come in the flesh. Let's consider the circumstances of his birth as the gospel writer Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 of Luke 2, he says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor over Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We are very familiar with this story, the story of Mary and Joseph, this young couple, a working class couple in ancient Israel, traveled far to Bethlehem, and they found no place for them. So they gave birth to this baby that had been given to them by the Holy Spirit, in a stable, a place where animals ate and slept. It was dirty. It was the most humble of circumstances that a child could be born in. And there's great significance in this when we consider who Jesus really is. God could have arranged Jesus' birth much differently. He could have been born under lavish circumstances in the warmth of a great palace. But Jesus was chosen for this place and this time and these humble circumstances because God wanted to communicate that message that he is for all people. But it's an even bigger deal than that when you continue to think about it. God, as enormous and powerful as he is, doesn't really need us, right? He is completely self-sufficient and completely self-satisfactory in himself. He doesn't need us to give him anything, but he loves us and desires a relationship with us. He wants a close connection with us, and he desires that so much that Jesus, this massive and powerful and timeless God, took on flesh, humbled himself, weakened himself to become a human child. He made himself entirely dependent upon weak and sinful human beings. And he didn't do it in a way that would enable him to later gain control over people and become powerful and have all kinds of authority. No, he did it in this humble way so that he could become a servant to all. Jesus came to serve and to give. He ultimately died for our sake. So what child is this? Well, he is the creator of the universe. More massive than you can imagine. Timeless, powerful. powerful, who humbled himself out of love for you to become a servant. He gave everything. Everything he deserves, everything he can have, he gave it up for you. And through his service to us, he has given us an opportunity for new life. We, as weak and sinful human beings ourselves, can recognize this child lying in a manger for who he really is, to see that there is a God, and he loves us. And he came for us to give us new life. We can repent and recognize that we have gone our own ways and lay down our lives for him. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has offered us forgiveness of all the things that we have done wrong, all the things we are worthy of God's punishment for. And he has offered us the opportunity to be made into a new creation in him, to be filled with his Spirit day after day because of his sacrifice, his humility, his willingness to give up everything that he deserves for us. And as that new creation in Christ, and as we live for Jesus, we can learn to humble ourselves just as Jesus did. We can learn to live a self-sacrificial life, giving up of ourselves for Christ and giving up of ourselves for others. Which takes me to another passage, a final passage to share with you today in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Which says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is who this child is, the child who is God. He is equal with God, but made himself nothing. And because of that, Paul encourages us to have the same attitude, to make ourselves nothing for others' sake, to set aside our own self-interest and look at the interest of others, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It truly takes the power of God working within us to live that way, right? There are things that we want, we desire, and we need in life. And over, God continues to teach us to come to him to be satisfied in those things that we need. Come to him to be satisfied in our want. And as we do that, to let go of our own will, to serve God and to serve one another. And as we talk about this, I don't want you to make the mistake that we so often make and think about this and say, oh yeah, I wish everybody lived that way. I want us to look into our own hearts and understand that we all have room to grow in this. We all have ways that we seek our own will. We want our own ideas to be fulfilled. We want to preserve ourselves. There is something that God wants us to teach every one of us about self-sacrifice, to become even more humble, to be even more like Christ. So this Christmas, as we think about who this child is lying in the manger, let's give thanks for Jesus' tremendous act of humility, the humility he showed for our sake. The star breather, greater than we can imagine, became a child that we can hold in our hands, gave up his life for us. So for his sake, may we learn to do the same. May we so walk in the Spirit of God that we want for nothing for ourselves, that we are filled with his presence and we are willing to give ourselves up for the sake of others, to do God's will in our lives, seeking what he wants for us first and foremost, and living as servants to those around us, the people that God places in our lives. Let us give thanks to God for his tremendous humility, for his love for us. And let us learn to be filled with his Spirit so we can walk in that same love. Let's give thanks to God as we pray and close with another song of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for who you are. I just pray that you open our hearts and minds to understand more fully who you are, Lord. Expand our image of you. Let us live in awe of you constantly, Lord. And may we know that we can find our satisfaction in you, Lord. I pray that you help us all to live as Jesus did, Lord. To not see our own needs as the driving force in our lives, but to see your will, to seek your will, to give up what we want for ourselves for something that's better, Lord, what you want for us. May we know this more fully, Lord, this Christmas as we gaze upon Jesus and give thanks for the Son that you have sent us. In Jesus' name, amen.